What's up, y'all? It's the WWE Champion. No, hold on. WWE World Heavyweight Champion Kofi Kingston, baby. And you are listening to Let the Chaos Begin. It's the podcast featuring Rich and Jamie, my boys. They'd have known me since day one. And here they are doing their own thing. So listen, let the chaos begin, baby.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Let the Chaos Begin. Rich Palladino and Jamie J. Mikowski. Jamie, your blood pressure has come down significantly. We're done with the series with Mark Sherman.
It took me close to 2 weeks to get over the Sherman episodes. You know, when people ask me why I left professional wrestling, I'm just going to play the tape of Sherman. And it all comes back to me, why I had to leave.
I was not joking about the multiple group texts whenever something would come up, because you would say one thing and he would reply like rapid fire, like boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. Everything, I think everything that's on his mind, he wants to get out in as many texts as possible. But unfortunately, like 9 out of 10 times that these group texts would happen would be either while I was in a meeting for my shoot job or like in my car driving to a show or something. So very, very frustrating. But I will say it was great to see Mark. He looks great. He seems like he's in a good place in his life. But we're not going to spend this episode talking about Mark Sherman.
No. But what do you? You know, the other thing we didn't do last time is because we kept hovering out of these episodes because Sherman wouldn't stop yapping. Yeah. You didn't get to do any plugs.
I did not do any.
No.
Plugs.
Where have you been working lately? What's been going on? Working. You know.
Everywhere. I'm on pace to do 100 shows this year.
Wow.
One of the companies that I work for, Beyond Wrestling, we do weekly shows on Wednesday nights at a bar in Worcester called Electric Hayes. Tickets are only $10 at the door, but they stream live on Independent Wrestling TV and Fight TV. So we're at the point now where it's great to have a full house, but now it's about viewership. And if all goes well, we'll have another 18 weeks. So you can imagine how much my lovely wife is thrilled about me being out of the house one night a week, usually when the kids have activities, kind of like when we try and get together and record a podcast. But as always, you know, going on 19 years with Chaotic, that's a big part of my schedule. Go up to Limitless Wrestling up in Maine every other month, and then doing stuff for What Wrestling, XWA down in Rhode Island. So I'm all over the place. Wherever they need somebody to.
I don't know if you know this, but tonight's episode is actually brought to us by Klein and Mecklemore Divorce Attorneys.
Oh.
So, you know, just in case Lisa's looking for some counsel, you know, call Klein and Mecklemore.
Mecklemore. I like that. Okay. Well, thank you.
And they can help out.
Thank you.
And then you have the Chaotic Countdown is coming up soon, right?
Chaotic Countdown is coming up next Friday, June the 14th in Woburn.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm sorry, in Lowell. We're bringing it to Lowell.
Wow.
Yes. I get very confused sometimes, bouncing back and forth. But yeah, the Chaotic Countdown is coming up. Always an exciting event. Never know who's going to be.
My favorite one. It's always my favorite event.
Yeah.
My favorite match of the year, my favorite event, Chaotic Wrestling event.
And there's always at least one surprise. Last year, Jimmy Preston showed up.
I know.
So
I know.
Who knows who might have that.
I've been training hard, getting ready.
Milagro.
What?
Aren't you?
Vortex.
Vortex.
Vortex with multiple X's.
Vortex 18.
So we're up to now.
I'll drop a name.
Yes.
I got to spend some time recently with one of the original Vortex.
Really? Which one?
Vortex? Vortexes? What's the plural of Vortex?
We'll go with Vortai. I like that.
Vortai. Oni Lorcan, the former Biff Busick. SmackDown was in town recently. Always try and get together. I got to spend several hours in a hotel room with Biff Busick, Drew Gulak, and Otis Dozovic of Heavy Machinery, who is quite an entertaining fella, I'll tell you that.
Interesting. So yeah. You were just hanging out in a hotel room with these fellas?
Yeah, Biff said, hey, we're staying at such and such a hotel in Rhode Island.
Huh.
Stop by, and I'll tell you, just drank water all night.
Wow.
Up literally till like 4 in the morning, just telling road stories, talking about things. He and Gulak have been friends for years, so it's good to see you. I haven't seen Drew for a bit. Probably about a year or so. So it was good to connect with Mr. Gulak again for a better 205 Live. And of course, Dozer. Oh my God, what a nut. But it was a lot of fun. So when you say Vortex, I for some reason think of the former Biff Busick.
I forgot he got his start
right
as a Vortex.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So there you have it. But
so Beyond Wrestling on Wednesday nights, Chaotic Countdown coming up.
Chaotic Countdown's coming up.
If it wasn't in Lowell, I would come to the Countdown, but that's much too far.
And as this episode drops, it's New England Hall of Fame weekend. So super excited about that. John Walters is coming up to induct Gary Michael Capetta into the New England Hall of Fame. Mistress Belmont is being inducted this year. The Heartthrobs, Antonio Thomas, and Romeo Roselli.
Is Sean Gorman doing Belmont's induction speech?
Yes.
Nice.
So that, I'm hosting it, and that's probably going to be the highlight of the night, though, is first of all, bringing Gorman up, because he is a friend.
Yeah.
And you never know what he's going to say when he has a live microphone. I'll take it back to the funeral of the late D.C. Dillinger. And Gorman gave the eulogy, and I remember him just stepping up to the, what do you call it there? Not, he was on the altar, but
sure.
The pulpit. I don't
sure.
know. And he just looked at the priest, said, "Sorry, Father."
So you nice.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So you never know what you're gonna get with Sean Gorman. But yes, he's inducting Mistress Belmont. So it's gonna be a great night all around. And
see, I keep trying to decide when I go into the New England Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, who should do my induction speech. Uh-huh. It might have to be you.
It might have to
because I literally don't know if anybody else will say anything good about me.
Nice. For the right price, I will gladly.
For the right price. All right. Well, it's between you and Scotty Slade.
But you'd have to accept.
I would have to accept the invitation.
So
I've declined.
I just had this conversation with a notable name in the business about you and, you know.
Yes.
You haven't gone in yet.
I have not gone in yet.
But
No. Anyhow. I've politely declined because I don't think I've earned my spot yet with the illustrious names that are in it already.
Well, I'll tell you, the summer is here. And like I said, this is Hall of Fame weekend. So this is a big weekend for me. This weekend, too, Beyond Wrestling debuts in Boston, Massachusetts at Ned Devine's. Show sold out without one name or match being announced, so I'm really looking forward to that. This Sunday, June 9th, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
We did that in Philly once at the Chikara School. Didn't announce one name, sold the place out, and had matches like A.R. Fox against Tessa Blanchard, like, unannounced. So, like, Fox would come out, and all of a sudden, Tessa would come out. Like, oh, my God, we're getting this match? Unbelievable. So, like I said, so I got that in Boston. Then the Countdown's coming up. Just a whole bunch of stuff. Summer's here. I actually spent a little bit of family time.
Good. All right. Okay. Good.
You know, so we'll get away from wrestling for a second. But it wasn't quite Hawaii, but me and the family spent a few days in Orlando. So
I love Orlando.
Yeah. And you know,
happiest place on earth.
And you know, I'm cheap. So I had to go down there for work. So
oh
it's like
God.
Getting four airfares
Do
for the price of three.
Do you ever not have an angle? A cheapness angle. You've
Never.
Learned well from Mark Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
Good Lord.
But no, we did legitimately.
Did you get a brother discount? What do you call it again?
No, I may have called in a favor for one of the parks down
oh,
there.
Oh, come on.
I think we know a guy whose brother-in-law
oh my God.
Said, "Hey, Richie, if you're ever coming down,
you
hit
are
me.
Such a shyster.
But
you are such, good Lord.
But no, seriously, I had to be down there earlier this week for a sales meeting. And with the planets and the moons and the stars all aligned, and my wife being in better health post-surgery, she can fly again. So we flew down to Orlando, had a few great days with the kids, literally 4-day vacation like we haven't had for a long time. So while she was recuperating, she couldn't fly. So we did stuff in New England and as far as New York, but we needed to get away from the news and get down to on a plane. So yeah, we
nice.
Had a great
Good
few days
you.
In Orlando. So here we are.
Here we are.
And you'll be...
I leave at the end of this month. I head to it's like the Million Dollar Man. I head to my currently residing at
yes.
my summer residence. I'll be heading to Hawaii for a short trip this year, only like 7 weeks.
Okay, only 7 weeks.
Only 7 weeks. Jeez. You know, my daughter's getting older. Problem now is like as Nikki gets older, normally she wouldn't want to go for as long. She wants to hang out with her friends. But of course, between Nikki, my mother, and my wife, they came up with a better solution. So now all we do is we just keep flying her friends to Hawaii to come visit her for 10 to 14 days.
Oh.
So yeah, so now not only will we be there, but we're going to have visitors
okay.
just all summer long. And I'm basically just a one-man Uber taking them to and from.
So Casa de Jay Makowski, it's not like a hotel. It's a...
Correct, yeah. You know,
so you have guests at...
Right, you know, we put all the girls and they stay in the East Wing.
How
so they have
popular
a whole...
is Nikki Josephine then? I mean...
I'm telling you.
Yeah, you know, I got this place in Hawaii. You guys should come visit.
Come visit. Come
and my
Hawaii.
Dad will drive us everywhere. Want ice cream? My dad will take us to get some ice cream. So yeah. Go to the mall. Dad,
otherwise, but we'll keep in touch. We'll still do some episodes over Skype. I know we've pre-recorded a couple before I even leave. But we'll pre-record a couple before I leave. And then Scotty Slade now will be on. So nobody out there will even have a chance to miss me.
Did you want to fly me and Scotty down? We could do some live episodes right there.
I think we should.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Looking for the brother hookup.
We should. The brother hookup. There it is.
Brother,
always,
brother, brother.
Always.
You know, it's
an
not so much for me, Jamie. You know, Scotty's got the little one at home. You know, got to save money.
A break.
Huh?
And he needs a break. Is
needs
that what
a break.
Is? Save some money.
Yeah. Wow, just putting it out there. We can record live.
You are a good-hearted fella.
Do you live anywhere near Kevin Von Erich? I know he lives in Hawaii. Have you watched the Viceland series about the...
I haven't seen that one yet.
I they did one on the Von Erichs, yep. And obviously he was prominently featured, he and his sons. I don't even think they said which island he lives on, but I do recall that you told me that former Fantastic Tommy Rogers, who
yes.
has since passed away,
yeah.
was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up. That he was working for a local pizza joint.
Yep, exactly. I remember I went in there one night wearing my either Chaotic jersey or a Killer Kowalski jersey. And I walk into this local pizza place and they're wrestling pictures all over the wall. I'm like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. They see my shirt. Oh, wow, what do you know about wrestling? I start talking story about Killer Kowalski. And they said, oh, yeah, you know Tommy Rogers? I'm like, yeah, of course. He's fantastic. And they go, oh, you're funny. Adult gave me that joke.
Yes.
But they said, oh, yeah, he's our delivery driver on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Right.
So, you know, Don Morocco still lives out there, I believe.
Oh, God, that's awesome.
Yep. The real Rock, the new Rock, but the Rock, he's out there all the time.
Yeah. Not Don the Rock Morocco, but...
No, but the Rock, he's out there
Dwayne
all the time.
Johnson.
I think Bret Hart lives on one of the outer islands.
Didn't you see Adam Sandler out there somewhere?
I've met Adam Sandler, yeah.
We've been Lisa's favorite.
Really?
Yes, and he's performing at you can call it Great Woods, the Comcast Center, whatever it is, over there in Mansfield. Of course, it's on a Wednesday night. I work on Wednesday nights, but I think I'm going to try and finagle something that if I can't take her, at least she can go with friends and stuff. But, you know, I'm sure he's going to do all the put on your yarmulke, it's time for Hanukkah,
right.
And, you know, all that good stuff. But, yeah. Big fan of the Adam Sandler.
Nice.
She's a big fan of Adam Sandler. So, yeah.
You know, one of the resorts is right down the street from the house. So when we go there, like for cocktails or for dinner, we see all kinds of people over there. We met Roger Clemens once. Adam Sandler, that whole Sandler crew. Cheryl
Rob Schneider.
And I, yeah, Cheryl and I were sitting having cocktails one night, and like the table started to merge. And next thing you know, we're sitting at a table with. Rob Schneider, David Spade, Kevin James, Adam Sandler, and I think Chris Rock was there too. So
wow.
We just kind of hung out and drank with them. We had brunch with Roger Clemens, which means I was two tables away from him. He was kind of a jerk. We had dinner with Julie Andrews once.
Oh,
Mary Poppins herself.
Oh my,
she was at the table right next to us. So yeah, so, you know, little brushes with fame.
All right.
Yeah.
See, I only drop wrestling names. You're dropping like real.
I drop real world names.
Wow. Wow, fantastic. So what are we going to do here this week?
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, but then when we come back, Rich, we have for our first time our chaotic question and answer. We have some questions. You and I will go back, give some of our answers, and then we have some special guests who will jump in and give us their answers to the questions too. So how about we do that when we come back?
Sounds good.
All right, so we're going to come back with Let the Chaos Begin with the chaotic question and answer. You're listening to us on For the Pops and the NAI Pop Podcast Networks.
You hear about Chaotic Wrestling's past on Let the Chaos Begin, but if you want to see its present and future, then go to Chaotic Wrestling Live. You can see all the Chaotic Wrestling action live and in person across New England. Go to chaoticwrestling.com/tickets to see the current schedule of shows and to purchase tickets. It's all the action of Chaotic Wrestling live at chaoticwrestling.com.
We'll be right back. Are you looking for a way to spice up your life? Maybe add some fun and excitement to the bedroom. Then check out BigOBoutique.com for everything you're looking for. Whether you want to shop for pretty lingerie and pajamas, or are looking for sensual lotions and toys to try out, Big O Boutique has exactly what you need. And don't worry, our online store is easy to use and will help you find all the right tools for you and your partner. We carry a huge assortment of lingerie, lotions, and more, all shipped discreetly to your door. As a special offer for the Pops listeners, enter code POPS at checkout to save 10% on your order. That's P-O-P-S to save 10%. So go to BigOBoutique.com today. That's BigOBoutique.com.
All right, we are back. Chaotic question and answer, I guess we're going to call this one, right? The old Q&A session.
On Let the Chaos Begin. This is going to be fun.
Right here. Yeah, that is what it is, right?
It is, yeah.
Let the Chaos Begin. We're going to bounce a couple of things off each other here. I'm going to ask the first question, Jamie.
Yes.
You were there 18 years.
Yes.
What was your favorite chaotic wrestling memory?
The day I retired. I'm kidding. I can't
start. Because I gave you all that Purell.
I can't. That was a great night. Oh, the Purell gifts were wonderful. No, I won't give you a sarcastic answer. The best chaotic memory had to be the homecoming show. Having John Cena there, actually getting to work with WWE officially, co-sponsoring a show with them, having John Cena there in his hometown, and then having Vince McMahon show up. That was a really cool show. Telling you about it. You knew John Cena was going to be there.
Yeah, that part I knew.
The show itself was fun. The lead up to it was hellacious. And I think we told this on the very first episode.
We did.
Of Let the Chaos Begin, our pilot. We might actually re-record that one now that we've gotten better at this crap. But the lead up to that show, between coordinating with WWE, our roster, talent relations, the police, it was torture, but the payoff that night was amazing. Mm. And we had a great Kowloon buffet.
We really did.
Great Kowloon buffet.
Yeah, and it's funny because over the years I've become pretty friendly with Andy Wong,
yep,
of Kowloon fame. So my goal as a selfish 50-year-old man that's worked in the business 25 years, I want my 8x10 on the wall. Come on. There's guys that aren't in WWE that are on the wall. Come on, Andy. I'm just kidding. But no. I mean,
why? Do you get free meals if your picture's on the wall? Is that the angle?
No, I never worked the brother discount angle at Kowloon.
Yet.
I actually took my wife there for the first time. She had never actually been there. We had a wedding in the area up there probably about a year and a half ago. My wife and my sister-in-law had never been to Kowloon.
I can't remember the last time I've been to Kowloon.
Anytime I do a show in that Saugus area, we always end up at Kowloon. You just have to.
Wasn't Kowloon like in a WWE... It was in a Cena special once.
Oh, where, yeah.
And they did a whole thing of all the fans, because now fans know to go there, right?
Yeah, they sure do. But depending on which crew's coming in, they have like a section blocked off. So, and wisely so. But, you know.
All right.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. So you, what's your overall favorite chaotic memory?
Oh, God. 19 years, it's kind of hard. I have two, and they may not have necessarily have been chaotic show moments. One would be going into the Chaotic Hall of Fame. That was pretty special because, for me, that was, I want to say, in 2007. My kids were really small. My kids were born in 06. So I think I was class of 06, inducted in 2007. And I remember Lisa actually came to that. It was probably one of the first times she had been away from the house, away from the kids. But she was there. It was a really special night because, like I've always said, to be recognized by your peers for anything in a non-wrestler capacity is kind of a big deal. I'd say that and celebrating my 40th birthday at that show. That was also in Lowell at the PAV, where I was inducted. My wife had rented a van, had the van come to my old office, and about 20 of my cohorts and my best friend, John Mello, who is still my best friend since kindergarten, all came to the PAV for the show, and they were all sitting on the stage. And I don't know how you guys kept me backstage. I wasn't allowed to peek through the curtain or nothing. Rich, we got to talk about this. Rich, hey, come over here. No, no, when this match, you got to know about this. And I remember Mike Nice was my broadcast partner, and he went out.
Wow.
He went out before me, and I didn't even know. Yeah. And, hey, big night. It's Rich Palladino's 40th birthday, and they had hats. And when I walked out, I thought it was great. You guys were going to celebrate my birthday. I had no idea.
Really?
That my wife, my best friend, and all my friends from my former employer were all there. I still have the picture up on my wall. Lisa took a picture of all of us in the ring after the show.
Mm-hmm.
All of them were inebriated. I was completely sober, so I stuck out like a sore thumb.
Okay.
And they all signed it. It's on my wall at home.
Do we charge them $5 each for the picture in the ring?
No, but she got the birthday package, so they. All right. I think they got noisemakers and all kinds.
All right,
of stuff.
I'm just making sure because you know we need to charge people for those things.
So yeah, I mean those would be a couple of my favorite chaotic memories.
Mark Sherman taught me well. Always got to make money. So Rich, let's ask the question to my co-host on For the Pops, which airs right here on the For the Pops networks. All right, Slade, the question on the table.
Yes.
Is what is your favorite chaotic wrestling memory?
My favorite. There's so many. If there was a DVD of favorite moments, it would be a 12-disc set.
Oh, God. Here we go.
I mean, there could be so many. My several title victories. My several cameos with different superstars. Or William Regal. Farouk.
Sonny?
Yeah, it's all of them. No, but truthfully, if we're going to pick one moment.
Yes.
We're going to have to say Cold Fury 13. When I main evented, why are you laughing?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Why are you laughing?
Because you always bring these up.
What?
13 and 14.
Well, 14 for other reasons. But yeah, of course. Why wouldn't I bring up 13?
Fine, bring up 13. Good. Continue about 13.
Would you want me to pick something else?
No, pick. Just answer the question.
I'm trying to.
Oh, my God.
So it was Cold Fury 13. And the booking at that point was not putting me in the main event. But yet, hard fought dedication and the power of the fans put me in the main event. Somebody that probably had no business being that close to the title. There I was in front of, at the time, one of the biggest shows for Chaotic that had no affiliation with any quote-unquote names. My face was on the poster for the main event, and at least at one moment of that match, if nothing else, I was the crowd favorite to walk out heavyweight champ. That's my favorite moment.
And that was you, Sherman and Brian Fury.
Yes.
In the triple threat.
Yes. There was a lot of botches in the match. The match itself was not great, but moment-wise, going out there and being able to stand there when the three of us are going and the Sherman chants start and they slowly die down and the Scotty chants are the ones that pick up steam. That, to me, and maybe it was because Chaotic had never done one with 500 people. At that moment, it was just cool to see Chaotic step out of their comfort zone, try something different with this sort of marquee match, have it be successful, and actually have people want to see you win, all those things rolled into one. There you go.
All right, well, that's Scotty Slade. You can hear Scotty Slade and I on For the Pops on alternate weeks from Let the Chaos Begin. Thank you, Slade.
No problem.
So,
all right, since you, gosh, you start off so positive. Nobody wants to hear us be positive, Rich. So if that was your best one, what about, what was your worst one?
I'm so positive when it comes to everything pro wrestling.
You are a positive guy. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, but my wife will tell you I'm like the most miserable like human outside of wrestling. Because life's a pain in the ass.
Be like me. Be positive at home and miserable at wrestling.
I don't think I've ever that. I guess, and I don't want this to sound awful because the people involved in the match were my friends. But the night that Dijak took that trash can lid to the head.
Ugh.
From Chase Del Monte, and Dijak's head got split open.
Yeah.
And he rolled out of the ring right after. And the thing that was worse for me is, one, I never liked to see any of my friends hurt that badly. But Dijak was bleeding buckets, and Lisa and my kids were in the front row. Remember at the old PAV where I would sit for commentary?
Oh, yeah.
Right where the little guardrail was.
Yeah.
Lisa and the kids were right there, and Dijak and the kids were probably, what year was that? It had to be 2013-ish, 12, 13-ish. I don't know. But my kids were very young. They were 6 or 7 years old. So that was a little, when wrestling got a little bit too real. And I know my kids were like, like my daughter ran to the lobby.
Yeah.
And Anthony just had, he couldn't not stare at it. And then Lisa just grabbed him and took him out of there.
There was a lot of blood.
Yeah. And I remember just, like I said, my biggest thing is like my friends in wrestling are like my brothers. So it's like to see anybody legitimately hurt like that, even though Dijak said after the fact, it was no big deal. It was just a little blood. But stuff like that, you know, that's, and I could even throw one other one. Remember when we turned Matt Logan heel and he hit Brian with the title, with the Chaotic Wrestling title.
I forgot
title.
About that one. Ugh.
And just
that was gross too.
Yeah. So any legit injuries like that make it a bad night for me. But, you know, that's mine. How about you?
I remember the Dijak one, though. I remember I got to ringside because on the booking sheet, they were going to brawl into the crowd. And I remember running to ringside. I was on the opposite side. So I was on stage side. And I got out there, and I'm looking, and I'm talking to Chase, and I'm like, go home. He's like, no. I'm like, no. I said, do not go into the crowd. And then I'm okay. I'm like, no. I said, there's blood everywhere. Go home. Oh, God. I wasn't even being like, you know, subtle about it in front of the fans. I'm like, go home. And this man. Oh, that was awful.
Yeah.
And then at the time, she wasn't Mrs. Dijak yet.
No.
But
engaged.
They were engaged.
Fiance Dijak.
And their wedding was not that far off.
Right.
And Mrs. Dijak, I blame Omega Security to this day. I don't know how they didn't stop her from making it to the locker room, but she came in like a bat out of hell, ripped me up one side and down the other. I have Chase there trying to run interference. Dijak, oh God, that was not a good night.
No.
That's a good one though.
Not at all. I mean, and you know what? Speaking of injuries, in the current Chaotic,
yeah.
I know this was after your time, but when D.L. Hurst, who's literally one of my favorite people in the business, when he broke his leg.
That was gross.
The only thing I was thankful for was that I was out at the commentary table with Julian, and I wasn't back there because I know I've seen some of the we aired some of the video backstage of just how panicked the poor kid was, and just like I said, any injury, you know, so blood is one thing. But a broken limb to that extent is another. It's, you know, that's just as awful. But yeah,
his was a big one that we had on a show, right?
What's that?
Injury. That was one of the biggest ones.
DL. Yeah, but that was after.
That was right after. Yeah, but yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was.
Because I'm trying to think.
Scary.
Because I know we're getting off topic, but in terms of injuries, remember the night Arch almost got his ear ripped off?
Yep.
Was an Aaron Stevens knee drop or no? It was somebody's knee drop.
I can't remember who did it, but all I thought about was Killer Kowalski and UConn Eric back in the day, because that was what Kowalski, that's how Kowalski
right.
got the name Killer. But yeah, I do remember that.
Because that's what I used to do. My job always used to be to have to go to the hospital with people.
Yes.
So I went with Arch. I went with Tommaso for his knee once.
Mm-hmm.
I went with Aaron once for something.
Mm-hmm.
I remember then toward the very end of my run, I went with Chase when he got his arm stuck in the cage.
Oh,
remember
God,
that?
How could I have forgot that?
Remember that?
Probably
in
because
terms of chaotic injuries.
Probably because he laughs about it to this day and kept the piece of wire.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Remember, he was stuck in the cage. The cage went through his arm.
Oh my God.
And he was stuck in the cage.
I can't believe I thought about all the other blood episodes before thinking of that. That one was awful.
Yeah.
I remember going backstage screaming, "We need bolt cutters." I was freaking out. I couldn't even go back out there.
Mike, we have the question Rich and I have been asking. You're going to be an upcoming guest on For the Pops. Do you have a worst memory from your time in Chaotic Wrestling?
I do, which is funny because it happened with someone I absolutely adore, Jimmy Malonis. And we were up in New Hampshire. Where
Littleton.
Are we? Littleton, New Hampshire. New Hampshire. And Tarzan had the idea for a weapons battle royal. And I was still super new to wrestling, so I'm in that stage of wrestling where I want to be in these battle royals for as long as possible. And Tarzan's like, "You're final four." And I'm like, "Sweet, final four. I'm going to be in there." And Jimmy Malonis comes in and blasts me. This is after he'd already blasted me earlier in the night. But blasts me and then puts a trash can across me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a tall person, but I have really long legs and a tiny torso. So he puts the trash can lengthwise on my chest and then splashes it. Now, Jimmy at that time was, you know, probably a, you know, six, what is he, 6 feet tall, 6'1", yeah. two, you know, 400 pounds.
Yeah.
So, big dude jumps on the trash can. And the thing is, the middle of trash cans give.
Yeah.
You know what doesn't give on a trash can? The hard binding rings at the bottom.
Oh, Jesus.
And that hits me right across. Can I say words?
Yeah, the, you can describe anatomical areas.
So right across the nuts, the everything else that's down there, and like the tops of my thighs, to the point where I was waiting for the, because that's back when I was wearing the, you know, Mikey Webb type stuff. Yeah. Actually, it might have been the jeans, right? Was that the cowboy Mikey Webb night up there? Anyways. I thought I was cut in half down there. And so I was waiting for blood to come pouring out of my pants.
Oh my God.
And once I realized that I wasn't severed and bleeding to death, I went to get up, but it had like jacked up the muscle. And what I really thought was that he cut the quad muscle in half, 'cause I couldn't stand on my leg. But I'm Final Four. I got to stay in them Final Four,
oh
right?
Oh, my God.
So I'm awkwardly crawling around the ring, trying to get to a corner where people can just stop me, and maybe at some point I can low bridge someone and they can go over. And Ilya comes in. I think it was Ilya. And goes, dude, Tarzan says you got to be out. I'm like, Final Four, man. I got to stay Final Four. And finally, Tomahawk comes in the most gentle of ways and picks me up and places me over the top rope on the ring apron and kicks me off the ring.
Oh my God.
Where I fall to the ground. And then I drag my body up the ramp, and to, at which point, I can't even think of Dan Tanaka's wife's name, but she was
Tanaka's wife.
She was there. With her hand so far up my thigh, I thought I was about to lose my girlfriend at the time. But that would be the worst chaotic memory I had.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'd never heard that story. Question for you, offshoot, then we'll move on. Were you still ring crew chief the night we had to break into the Littleton Opera House? Was that still you?
Because no, that was not.
Were you there that night or no?
No.
Maybe that was Julian then. I'll have to talk to Julian next time we have him on. And I won't tell this right now, but there was a night where nobody showed up to let us in, but we had to get into the building. So we literally broke into the building. We made Adult go around the corner so he couldn't see what we were about to do. But we'll save that story for that. All right, so thank you. So I'm sorry that. How'd you get out of the trash can?
I wasn't in the trash can. He laid it across me.
Oh, I thought you were in it.
No, he jumped on a trash can that was on me.
Oh.
And where I don't have a larger torso, it wouldn't hit most people like that. But because of me and how short I am, it hit me in a really awkward way, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I'm sorry for that, and glad you signed the waivers.
Right.
So awesome. Thank you, Mikey Webb. See, my worst night, I remember my worst night in chaotic wrestling, and I'm not going to tell like the one I really think. It wasn't when we drew 18 in Methuen. My worst night in chaotic wrestling was, remember the night we did the 10-bell salute for Kowalski?
Yeah.
I lost it that night. Because all I remember was, we didn't know how to do it, and you and I were going back and forth on how to do it. Jim Kettner was there, and Jim walked up to me, and he said, have you ever done one of these before? And I'm like, no. Because what we're going to do is we're going to line the ring with everybody, picture Kowalski on the screen, 10-bell salute. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know how to do it. And then Jim said, here's what you do. Rich goes out there, says, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to honor Walter Kowalski passed away. And we all went out there. He said, nobody else say anything. Ring the bell. Everybody go back. So I remember I came out. I walked by the announce table. I was the last one to come out. And so we actually filtered heels and babies. We sent heels one way, babies the other. Mm-hmm. So all I remember was, as I'm standing there, and I'm fine at these things, you know. So I'm sitting there, and I hear you do your thing. We do it, and the bell starts ringing. And I'm like, holy crap, he's gone. And then I look across, and I'm facing Malonis and Handsome. And Malonis is starting to cry. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. Because he starts to cry. I see him. I'm done. And I just remember walking back, like, shoulders heaving at the Kowalski tribute.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, geez, on that happy note, why don't we take a little bit of a break? And when we come back, we're going to have more questions, more answers, and more special guests. You are listening to Let the Chaos Begin right here on the NAI Pop and for the Pops Podcast Networks. We'll be right back.
Hey, Jamie, I understand we have a new sponsor for the show.
Yeah, this is pretty exciting, Rich.
Simple Corp Global. Men's and women's grooming products delivered right to your home.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, I've known about Simple Corp Global for a while. They have great products. They have a great system where, you know, you don't have to run to CVS. You don't have to run to Stop and Shop to get all your stuff. They have these great products they deliver right to your door. And the cool part is they actually have three different lines literally for everybody in your family. Their core line, and Rich, I'm looking at you for this one.
Mm.
You know, let the chaos begin. We always have these wrestlers coming in. What is the deal with all you people with beards now?
I'm not answering that, Jamie.
What? I mean, you got beards and fuzz and all that stuff. Well, Simple Man, their core product line, it's actually have a huge line of men's stuff, like beard oils and beard balms. So that Brillo pad on your face for your wife, Lisa,
yes,
that could be soft and supple for you going
forward.
She'll
be happy.
I'll tell you, my daughter, Nikki, she swears by their Simply Hers line. They have their volumizing products, and she swears, but it's like, bam, instant hydration for her hair. And then, you know, for any women listening out there, you know, if you want to get a nice gift for the guys, they actually even have a luxury cologne line called Alfred & Hoff that's been sold in, like, retail markets around the world that's now exclusive to Simple Corp Global.
That's fantastic. And you know me with a wife and 13-year-old twins. I'm all about saving money. So we're talking salon quality without paying salon prices.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel worse for you than me because I don't know if you've noticed, you know, you should talk to your son about this stuff. Because if you notice now, that it seems like teenage boys, they seem to be spending just as much money on their appearance as teenage girls now.
They sure are.
And the cool thing, Rich, you know, you said it's one thing to save money. The great thing with Simple Corp Global is you can make money too. They actually have a program where you can shop for free as a repeating customer, or you can have your own website where when people shop with you, you actually make money. And the best thing I love about their company is their corporate motto. It's work hard, play harder. So they have all kinds of rewards and bonuses for anybody who shops with them or signs up to sell with them. So definitely check them out online.
That's simplecorpglobal.com/forthepops. Once again, simplecorpglobal.com/forthepops.
All right, so your turn, Rich.
No, you asked me worst.
All right, so it's your turn to ask me.
Oh.
Well-oiled okay. Machine. I want the chaos begin.
I gotcha. You know, probably should have started with this one, because my answer is always. I think I've told mine on other podcasts. But what got you into pro wrestling?
Like as a kid, or as a promoter? Because I'm the greatest promoter.
I'm calling Todd Sinclair right now.
I'm a great promoter.
You are not a promoter. No, what made you become a fan of wrestling? Because before you even answer it, I mean, your favorite wrestler that we got to work with very early was Bret the Hitman Hart.
Yes.
So I want to know when.
He was my favorite wrestler later. Like, he was my favorite wrestler in college.
Okay.
How old
was young Jamie Majkowski?
In college?
No, when you first discovered pro wrestling.
I was probably like 10, 12, somewhere in there. We've talked about this before. I was a total WWF fan. My father and I started watching. What would have been the first weekly show on USA? Was that Primetime?
Primetime, 1985.
Yeah, so he and I probably started watching Primetime wrestling. I remember that vividly. Mm-hmm. You know, if you say to me, what do I remember about watching wrestling with my father? It was watching Primetime Wrestling.
Or did you watch TNT? Because TNT actually aired. You remember TNT, Tuesday Night Titans?
Yeah.
Vince at the table with the big coffee mug.
Oh, I remember that one too.
And that was very character-driven.
And then there was Friday night, there was a show for a while.
Well, TNT and or Primetime, they would...
Crisscross.
Not even so much crisscross, but TNT, I think, started to sail on a Monday night or a Tuesday night. This was pre-Raw.
Gotcha.
And then they'd move it to Friday nights, probably for, you know, whatever the demographic said they should be doing. Jeez, I'm awful. But, because TNT started in 84. Because I remember that was when Vince Sr. had passed away. Vince Jr. took over the business. And I remember, what are they doing? They're showing all these characters and doing all these goofy skits. And Ivan Putski would be making Polish kielbasa.
Right.
And she could be outside with a camel. But Primetime Wrestling was the first, like, weekly. They would show matches, like, from Madison Square Garden and stuff like that. So.
And then I always know in my house that, you know, Sunday afternoons couldn't start till you had finished watching All American Wrestling.
Ah, of course.
You know, Mean Gene. Yep. And then the other vivid thing I always remember from back then was, and you'll remember the name of the arena. Was it Toronto's Maple Leaf Gardens where there wasn't, where the ramp went all the way
exactly
directly to the ring?
Yes.
I still remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And then we used to go to all like the local shows, like not local shows, but like, when they would come to the garden. Mm-hmm. So I'd go see all the house shows. So that's how I got into it.
Yeah.
With my father. And you? Because you have like the wrestling cave now. So I'm fascinated by this.
I do. I was younger than you, albeit I'm a couple years older than you. I think I discovered wrestling when I was 8 or 9 years old. I say nine because Bob Backlund is the first world champion that I remember. Bruno Sammartino was always my favorite growing up, but he was more like a specialty attraction because Backlund was the champion. Bruno was semi-retired, but he was the announcer on TV, so he'd always get attacked by a heel, would set up a big program. That drew me in. But the first person I remember seeing on TV, Saturday mornings, I'm watching Championship Wrestling and All-Star Wrestling on Saturdays. Captain Lou Albano was the first character that I always remember. And he managed Dick the Bulldog Brower. And there was a piece of wood that either broke off a chair or the steps or something.
Yep.
And Albano like had it in his pocket. And I remember Bulldog Brower. Now picture him, like 8 or 9 years old. He's choking a guy with a piece of wood. And his eyes are bugging out and his tongue's. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Oh, my God.
And I remember seeing the magazines at the newsstands when I was a kid too, and they always see somebody like very bloody on the cover, and that would always freak me out. Blood always freaked me out when I was a kid.
I'm getting a sense of that.
Yeah. So we're like, when
even now, those are your least favorite matches in Chaotic,
right?
All right.
Oh, and I've seen some blood in 25 years in this business too. I mean, that's a story for another day. But I remember as a kid, like I said, Bruno Sammartino was my favorite. The greatest storyline in pro wrestling to this day was the whole heel turn with Larry Zbyszko turning on Bruno Sammartino. I grew up watching that. I can tell by the look on your face. You barely even know what I'm talking about.
I remember it well, Rich.
Bruno trained Zbyszko. Zbyszko insisted he had a break out of Bruno's shadow, wanted a match on TV. Bruno said no. Then Larry said, I'm going to quit wrestling, Bruno, if you won't wrestle me. Bruno said, okay, but it has to be scientific, and I will not try and hurt you. They had the match. Bruno out-wrestled Zbyszko. Zbyszko went outside the ring, took a chair, smashed over Bruno's head. Bruno bled, was lying face down in a puddle of blood. I was like 10, I think, at that time. I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
They killed Bruno. But, I mean, these are the things. It was much different then, you know? You didn't get to see it every night. It was only on Saturday mornings, and that was it. And then that was it. And I went to my first show at the Boston Garden in 1980. Bruno Sammartino, Ken Patera, Texas Deathmatch. Patera went to hit Sammartino with a chair. Bruno ducked. The chair bounced off the ropes. Patera knocked himself out. I was in like second to last row at the Boston Garden. Sold out.
Wow.
Yeah, like 16, 17,000 people. It was so awesome back then. Not that it's not awesome today. It's just so different.
I love how you can remember all of that. But if I said, what happened at Cold Fury 11? Nothing. Just nothing.
Infinite possibilities?
No. What? No. Why would that be 11? That's an 8 on its side is infinite. Rich, it's my turn to ask. So I'm going to ask you, because you've been one of the boys. You've been doing this a long time. We were talking before the break about how many matches you've called, how many shows you've done. What's your favorite road trip memory?
Oh, God. You know, it's funny because we've done so many shows in Massachusetts, but we've done a good amount outside of our own home state. I'd have to say, and this is going way back, whatever year we first decided to start running at the Strive Center. Remember the Strive Center in South Portland, Maine?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think it was the first time we were going up there. And for Vince Vicalo, that was a great... Dude, let's get the Corvette. We're going to Maine. Let's get a hotel. And
oh, my God.
I know that show was sometime in the summer. And for some reason, we thought... So it was myself. You know what? I don't think we had so many people on this road trip, we did not even bring the Corvette.
Really?
But it was definitely a Vicalo trip. No, you know what?
College.
Because if it was me and Vicalo, we were taking the vet.
Yeah.
But it was me, Vicalo, Arch, and John Walters.
Oh, God.
Those were my brothers.
There's a crew.
And we're like, oh, yeah, a show in Maine in the summer. Ah, we'll find a hotel after
you
the
idiots.
Show. So we go, we do the show at the Strive Center, and great, great house, great show. Everybody's happy. We decide we're going to go out and have a couple of libations. Because again, We're just going to find a hotel somewhere. Now, a member of the roster that may have lived in the area may have known a guy at a gentleman's establishment.
Oh, God.
So we had VIP passes to, which basically just meant you got in the door for free, but still had to pay $10 for a beer. And I remember we went to the gentleman's club after. Now, again, hey, let's
go. Arch and Vicalo in a strip club together.
And me and Walters and me, yes.
Oh, my God.
All right. It's funny you should mention Arch because you know the intellectual Arch Kincaid.
Yes.
The nickname that I gave him, by the way.
Right.
Of course, Arch Kincaid, you know, the girls come up and, oh, hey, what brings you here? Blah, blah, blah. Would you like a dance? I'll never forget it. Right hand to God. Arch, like, to the girl. What made you want to do this?
Oh, my God.
Why? You take off your clothes and you have drunk people giving you money. What made you want to do this?
Oh, my God.
He's like psychoanalyzing her. And credit to her. I mean, she's just like, oh, you know, but I mean, I wasn't like right. But he's seriously, he's asking everything about that. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to go over there. I don't want to be any part of this.
Oh, jeez.
But it's just so funny you mentioned that. But fast forward, that it's just as soon as you said Arch.
Fast forward, now they're married.
No.
Oh,
no.
Oh, that would have been a great ending, Rich.
That would have been.
And now they're married.
And yada, yada, yada. And
now they're married.
Yeah. But best part was we had, you know, made a night out of it. And again, we still have no hotel.
Oh, jeez.
So now the four geniuses are driving everywhere in South Portland, Maine, trying to find, I'm talking Super 8, Motel 6, whatever. We finally find something. I swear to God, it's like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. So now we're just tired and annoyed.
Yeah.
We could find food, but we couldn't find a place to stay. Soon as we got to the room, again, right hand to God, Vince Vicalo, let's trash the place. Goes to the bathroom, takes the toilet paper, whips it across the room.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. He's in complete Vicalo mode. So finally, we're all like, fuck this shit. Everybody go to sleep. That's enough. It's been a long enough night. Finally go to sleep. Swear to God, like 6 o'clock, Vicalo tapped me on the shoulder. Hey, Rich, can I have the keys? I want to go to the gym.
That dude.
We literally had been sleeping maybe 2 hours.
That's unreal.
That was Vicalo, though. The guy, he would have a beer in the shower in the morning. So, yeah, so that's my
shower beer.
My long-winded favorite road trip.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, just the characters involved. And, again, people who are around back then will know them all.
Yeah.
But Arch Kincaid and Vince Vicalo in a strip club together. And again, the other thing you got to say, I hate to say for anybody younger who's listening, this was like before the days we didn't have the internet on our phone. There was no such thing as hotels.com. You couldn't, you know, Google local hotels with vacancies and find something in 13 seconds.
Right.
You idiot. That's awesome, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You? I have one. I think you know the story. You might be one of the only ones around who know the story that I haven't told in 20 years now. Do you remember when we used to run shows in Providence?
Oh, yes.
We were running shows in Providence. And back then, I knew some people would argue I still don't. I knew nothing about independent wrestling. I knew about things like business travel. And if I had to drive to someplace like Providence for a business trip, I would stay over in Providence. So I don't know how much you know, but a lot of us would stay over, like wherever we would go. So a group of us decided to stay over after a Providence show. And I wasn't feeling well that night. I just felt a little off. I just wanted to get some sleep. So I was rooming with another member of the Chaotic Wrestling team, who shall go nameless. And all of a sudden at like 2 in the morning, I hear the door open. And I hear he's brought a young lady back with him. And I'm like, oh, unreal. So, you know, I do the college thing where I just play dead. And I'm just hoping. And I can hear he's obviously trying to, you know, have amorous relations with her that night. And she's being very resistant. And I'm like, oh, come on. Either do it, don't make up your mind. Then they decide they're going to, and they go in the bathroom. But it's like a day's in, so I can still hear.
Of course.
And it's still like a debate. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute. I know that voice.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was the wife of one of our fans, who they used to come to all the shows together. So now, all of a sudden, I hear the debate kind of end, and they kind of come out. And next thing I know, somebody's sitting on my bed. And I hear her voice going, Jamie, wake up. And I'm playing dead. She's like, come on, Jamie, I know you're awake. Jamie, wake up. And finally I go, let me put it this way. If I'm asleep, I can pretend I didn't hear any of this. If I'm awake, I'm not going to lie. And I hear them both get up and leave. So now I'm like, finally. Well, now, half an hour later, the husband calls my room. Do you know where my wife is? I'm like, dude, I'm asleep. I have no idea. He's like, well, somebody told me that she was headed toward your room. I'm like, trust me. No, not here. I'm trying to sleep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Never heard of this one.
Oh, yeah. So then I ended up getting so pissed that the next morning, my cohort was so – I don't think he ever came back, actually. So I don't know where he ended up. But I don't think he ever came back. And the next morning, I had the keys to the car we drove in. I don't know if I came in the Ring truck or what happened, but I had the keys. And I said, look at this. I'm leaving. And I left him in Providence. To this day, I don't know how he got back.
Oh, my God. There was no Uber back then.
What?
No Uber.
But I left his ass there, yeah.
Wow. Yep. This shows, I think it was Jefferson Boulevard exit, right outside of Providence? Is that the indoor soccer place?
It was like an indoor soccer place, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Jefferson Boulevard, because I live down kind of towards Rhode Island. So, yeah. Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah. But, Rich, ours were good. But we have a special guest.
Oh, we do.
That we asked this question to.
Yes.
And his beats both of ours. So let's bring back the sure thing, Mark Sherman, for his favorite road trip story. Sherman, the question on the table right now is, during your time in Chaotic, what's your most memorable road trip story?
Oh, can we tell the one from Littleton, New Hampshire? You know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Oh, go ahead, you idiots. Yes.
All right.
Please tell us.
If you like weed and you like beer, you'll like this story.
God. Oh, God.
You know? God. All right. So Cam, I think he just got his license. I rode up with Cam, Matt Greeley.
No, hold on. Littleton, New Hampshire. It was a great venue.
Good
probably
time.
Probably the best venue we had.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I said this when Alex Arian was on, I think. If that Littleton venue had just been an hour and a half closer,
it'd be ideal. Yeah.
It would be ideal. But the thing with Littleton was you drove north and then you hit the end and you just kept driving north for like another hour.
Yeah.
So it's out in the middle of nowhere. So we used to run shows there, usually on Saturday nights, and we're driving back. And please continue your story.
Yep. So I drove up with Greeley, Cam, Ilya Markopoulos, and Pat Pagonis.
And for Chaotic fans, the character East Coast Cowboy is who you refer to when you say Greeley. Pat Pagonis, of course, my former broadcast partner, Pat Matthews.
So we had
Ilya Markopoulos, yourself, and who else? Five of us?
There was five. There was a five of us. So Cam, me, Ilya,
Cam's
Greeley, and Pat. So there we go. So we're riding up. Everything's going well. It's kind of tight squeeze, not going to lie. We're doing, at the time, some illegal stuff. Now it's passable, you know. Well, not
Wait,
Cam.
Before a Chaotic show?
No.
Look at Jamie's eyes.
Actually, not me. Them. That's right.
He doesn't run the company anymore, and you don't work there anymore.
I was so high. But anyways. Anywho, after if you guys could only see the death stare, we should do this on like a video stream so you can see your face.
Keep talking.
But from there, on the way home, we're driving. Greeley picks up a 30 rack and proceeds to pass cans around the back seat. Three of us in the back, two in the front.
So who's driving? I'm sorry.
Cam. And he's straight edge. He actually didn't smoke, didn't drink.
Cam was young at the time too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he just got his license.
Oh, Jesus.
And long story short, we're driving, Greeley's chugging him back, and he has to pee. We're probably about 20 minutes out, you know, on the way home, and he tells Cam to pull over, and I'm like, I'm sitting in the middle of the back seat, I can remember. I was like, guys, no, just go pull off an exit, let's go to a gas station, let's do it right. He's like, no, Sherman, shut up, like, let's just go pull aside, Cam, no one's on this highway, like, we're good. And at that time, we lit up, you know, we're like finishing a joint or whatever. And the cops, as we're pulling over, and Greeley's getting out to piss. Blue lights come up behind us.
Idiots.
Yes, because freaking somebody's idiots. Standing or peeing or doing jumping jacks on the side of a highway with no traffic on it. Yeah, that's kind of a red flag for the men in blue.
Well, state cops have, if they see somebody,
you could be in distress.
They have to stop.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and so from there, cops came. They smelt the burnt weed. They looked down into the seats, and
you idiots.
How many kids? There was like Pat was under 21, Cam was under 21, Ilya might have been under 21.
Yeah, he was borderline.
Yeah. So me and Greeley were the dummies there. I'll say the saving grace was Greeley on that story, because when we were all about to get arrested, they're like, whose weed is this? Whose beer is this? Like Greeley, like Ilya was like, it's all of ours. It's all of ours. And then Greeley was like, shut up, Ilya. It's just mine. And like the officer gave us the Iggy, like it's either going to be one of yours or all of yours.
Yep.
And Ilya's first thing, it's all of ours. It's all of ours. I'm like, Jesus Christ, Ilya. And Greeley,
he was young and inexperienced, huh?
Literally. And Greeley's like, you know, put his hand up. He's like, it's all mine, everything. But dumb Ilya had weed in his pocket. And so they took him too, or something, you know, something along those lines.
So, all right. So, because what's happening is you guys get pulled over.
Yeah.
Adult is in the ring truck with.
Oh, he drove by.
Right. Adult, I think, was Julian. On the side. Might have been in the ring truck with Adult. And I was in my own car. I was beyond you guys. So now, bring me up to speed, because I've always heard pieces of this. And so who actually got arrested? Did the car get impounded? Like, what happened
Car got
there?
Impounded.
How'd you guys get to a police station?
Ilya and Greeley got taken away. And then us, I think Cam went with them, because it was Cam's car. He was in the possession. So Cam, like, went to jail, so to speak, but didn't. And they held him. And so from there, the Simon Gregory.
Yeah.
I called anyone and everyone. And, like,
You didn't call me.
I think I did call you. And you're like, call Simon Gregory, someone. Like, they're behind me. And I called Simon. He's like, all right, I'll come get you. So on the side of the road, Simon Gregory picks up me and Pat Begonis.
So you guys are literally standing on the side of a highway in the middle of nowhere, New Hampshire.
I believe so. And they put me and Pat in the back of their car. And like the plan was, I told Ilya and Greeley, I was like, listen, I asked the cop too. I was like, what's the deal here? How's this going to play out? And they're like, come back and get bail. Like, you can pick him up with bail money tomorrow, you know, tomorrow morning. Or,
amazing.
So I basically was like, let's drive to my car. And we drove back to North Andover, got my car. And Pat and I drove up and got the other three. I bailed them out. Yeah.
They still haven't
paid me back for that.
I heard about this this happened on a Saturday night. You probably remember that I missed that show. I had a family wedding I had to attend. Because I remember you had posted something on Facebook about your master's degree from whatever college, and you were making hot dogs. Yes.
That's right. Yeah.
So I remember I was off that night, and I had traveled with some of the aforementioned people. And boy, was I glad that I missed that show.
I remember Adult called me, and he's like, a bunch of guys got pulled over. I'm like, who? And he tells me, and I'm like, where, and I asked him where he was, and they were about to pull off at Tilton, I think, like the Tilton Diner, that Burger King they always used to stop at. And I was well beyond that. And Adult asks me, he goes, if they're getting arrested, should we go back? And I said, for what? He's like, well, you know, if they're getting arrested, should we be there? Cause they're wrong. I'm like, and my exact quote was, I'm like, F them. I'm going home and going to sleep. And he's like, what should I do? I'm like, you can do whatever you want. If I were you, I'd bring the truck back to the warehouse and go home and go to sleep. Idiots.
Yeah, I mean, and then so I picked them up, and I think we got yelled at by Cam's mother for like a half hour.
Oh, really?
In Salem, New Hampshire, at like 6 in the morning when we finally. So Pat and I drove 2 hours back, grabbed my car, drove 2.5 hours back up the mountain, went to that police station, bailed them out. I think Cam was crying, and he was like a poor kid. Like, I think we did not get his car. Like, his mother had to go up there like Sunday morning and get his car for like impound, like for $250 or whatever.
Did I yell at you guys?
What's that?
Did I yell at you after the fact?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think you fired Greeley and he never wrestled again for Chaotic.
Oh, I'll do it.
And that's the story of how Greeley got fired from Chaotic Wrestling.
Story time with Mark Sherman. Wow.
All right. Well, thank you, Sherman. I don't think we can beat that road trip story. And with that, I don't think we're going to beat Mark Sherman's story about his road trip to Littleton, New Hampshire. So I think we're going to wrap up this episode of Chaotic Question and Answer on Let the Chaos Begin. Rich and I are going to be back again in 2 weeks with some more guests on the show, and we'll be back later this summer with another Chaotic Question and Answer. But until then, stay tuned to Let the Chaos Begin and For the Pops right here on the NAI Pop and For the Pops Networks. For Rich Paladino, I am Jamie J. Mikowski. We'll talk to you all again soon.